so tell me about the time that you, did this old lady ever make any moves on you and you regretted it severely?
Me? Actually, one of my friends told me a story about that. It's inappropriate. I can't, but it was pretty funny.
Okay. Yeah.
I've had a bad experience. You've had a bad experience. Everyone's going to be having a bad experience.
The Trump grenade.
So we vote Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's I already true. Voted my ballot.
Did you really?
I didn't vote. There was a lot of deals that were, it was only a Green Party or liberal. And I just said, I kind of tried to do some research about those candidates and who they were on YouTube. And it was like, they're like these names on there and there's just no, it's non-existent of what they even represent or do or even stand for. And so I just didn't vote at all.
Really?
I didn't cast a vote. Yeah.
Interesting.
I only voted for ours. That's all I did.
Yeah.
And then on the
that's what most people do.
And then there's ones where it's like jobs, where people are, there's like 20 names for someone to get like some position. It's not even, you know, political almost.
Yeah.
Like head of the city of Phoenix water services.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I just didn't.
They love to keep that real obscure.
And it's like, why? And I was like, so what am I supposed to do here? Vote for someone I think has the coolest name? I don't know any of these people.
Well, that's the thing about all that is that you have to, you know, it's like, I was like, oh, one of these nights I'm going to sit down for like 4 or 5 hours and I'm just going to, you know, figure all of that out, especially with judges and. You know, but there's different people have different, you know, things they like to do. Some people like to vote out all the judges just as a matter of fact, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing because I just want to know which judges rule in the way that I think is the most constitutional. And it's the sad thing is most people don't vote or they just vote, for really impulsive emotional reasons, you know, and it's like, there's not even many people who care about that stuff, you know?
I do care, but I care that I can't. I care so much that I can't care. I can't care who am I supposed to vote for. I can't pick somebody that I don't know.
That's true.
Unless there's an R next to their name.
Well, the thing that annoys me, it's the same thing with all of the propositions and stuff. It's, you know, it's pretty simple. It's usually, it leans left or it leans right. It's pretty, you know, like, we want to... Do you mind if we spend more money on this because we love the children? And I'm like, no. Immediately, no. Because I know what you're doing, and you already get a lot of money, and you're sucking. And you're also very discriminatory, you know, towards half of the people who live in this country who pay taxes. And, like, you know, you put pictures up of presidents from one party and not another party, and then... You teach all the children to vote one way. You know what I mean? It's like you're destroying education and you're being willfully ignorant, and it would be really nice if you could stop.
It's just strange to me. So many people get in these, like, I got my early ballot, and you just open it up and it's like all these names of people, no one's ever even heard of them. And they don't even know what the position they're voting for or running for.
Well, right, like
we don't even know what that position is.
Well, I found something pretty interesting. I was going through the voter guide, you know, and I was like, oh, and half of it was in Spanish, and I thought that was funny because I was like, if everyone would just agree to learn the language of this land, you know, we could save 50% of that paper. You know, think of all the trees that would have been, you know, not cut down.
Dude, that you just talking about paper just sparked the total rage mode inside of me. I could have a paper podcast
Oh no,
dude, the amount of paper some of these places print out every day.
No, I know, but that's what
for
I'm
like
saying.
No reason.
Well, because basically there's something going on there that's not really constitutional, which is, you know, we're gonna bring in people from other countries who don't necessarily speak the language, but they vote, you know, with whoever's going to give them more benefits. So that's how we're going to get voters, you know. And it doesn't help if you encourage, you know, if a lot of the people of a particular party have a tendency to, you know, either kill their own children before they kind of get very big or sterilize themselves, you know. So that's definitely an issue. So it's like if you're not reproducing, you got to bring in more people so that they can, you know, vote the right way, so that you can,
so that you don't have to make more people.
Keep up your, yeah. So
you can keep on not making more people.
Yeah, and when you just avoid the streets that are covered in human fecal matter, if you're in San Francisco, you're like, oh
yeah, the flying car idea. That's
where all the people poop their pants. No,
the flying car idea. The flying car idea is not about saving the planet. It's about not having to deal with the planet.
Dude, the cartoons I could draw, like some guy gets out of a Tesla, or like. He gets out of his electric car and he like plugs it in and he takes off his shades and then some guy squats down and just takes a huge right there and it's like that's there you go.
The new Model T, the new Tesla Model 7 comes with a high power pressure washing system for your Tesla boots.
It's like welcome to the future, you know. Justin Trudeau, it's 2018. Think of the date. Oh. Yeah, it's great. It's frightening, but I don't know. My instincts, it's like, part of me just wants to kind of retreat into the deep woods.
Well, at some point, that might be.
That's whatever, but everyone has already.
You might be a genius.
Ridiculousness, but it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. People are just, it's strange how long they can go where they, you know, keep their sanity before. They freak out and they have a revolution and they blame everything on the wrong people and then they kill all the productive people and then
I just
all of a sudden they get Joseph Stalin and he's like, I'm going to take these people and I'm going to use them to build a road and then they're going to die of...
Road of Bones, man. I just saw a documentary, The Road of Bones.
They're going to use them.
The Road of Bones. It's unbelievable. Wow. Because you're watching this documentary, and I was watching it because it was the coldest village on the planet where people live.
I've heard about
and
the
it,
village.
It never gets above like minus 30.
Right.
And that's like a warm day. And it's like 500 people live in this village there. And so you're watching the documentary, and you're not thinking anything about Stalin or any of that. It's just about the science behind where they live in the road they're on. And then he starts about halfway into the episode, he goes, this is a... About for like every quarter mile, every mile is four dead humans. So a 1,200 mile road is how many dead humans? And they did the math, and they're saying that that's how many bones. They're not even bones; it's frozen chunks of human because they never thaws out.
So they ground them.
They
up
ground them up in the gravel machine.
Oh.
In the gravel, they had a gravel makers there. It's made out of gravel, special kinds of layers of gravel, like a cake.
See, there you go. But that was the wrong kind of communism. We just need to try it again.
Well, I would have been that guy that like tried to like jump out of the way of the. Well, no, they were already dead. They got worked until they froze to death, with basic clothes on. They got thrown out of the train and they worked until they froze to death.
See, I've always liked to think that if that kind of stuff ever went down, I'd immediately go.
If you put an axe in my hand and I'm freezing to death, I'm gonna die a different way than that. That's all I gotta say.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I would have been like, I'm gonna at least take out two or three of these.
Breaking an ankle is worth it, man. I broke my ankle when I was young. Sometimes you wonder if maybe, you know, there's days where you feel like it would have been better to just die because it's a lifelong of just kind of this broken feeling, you know, you can't shake it. But interesting that you come across those kind of facts, and it's like a documentary like that can change someone's, like, say someone's, some kid's in college is studying ice or something, and he ends up on this documentary. A total shallow-minded human being, it could turn him around.
That's true.
It was shocking, dude.
That's true.
Completely shocking.
But unfortunately, you have to really go look for that. You know, I just don't. It's hard to tell how many people actually are smart enough to go look for it. Like I've worked with. I just worked with this kid who he was there for a little bit, and then he got a different job. You know, the kind of job where you can like smoke weed while you work. You know, and just kind of chill and. You know, he's like almost as old as me, and he was like, I can't wait till they come out with the birth control shot for dudes. I'm gonna get it. I'm so excited. I'm like, but you believe in survival of the fittest? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like,
hey, even the devil believes in Jesus.
There you go. No, but yeah, I mean, he was, but he really. Really believed in like his like he's like I'm going to go to the park to go skating, like he was really, like he really thought that there was like a majestic value to just like hooking up with chicks on Tinder, and then,
well, you know,
and then, oh, and then the Brett Kavanaugh hearing happened, and then he goes, yeah, I went on a date with this chick, and I totally like dined and dashed, serves her right, you know, calls her a negative word that I won't use, which is disrespectful to females, and then I go, what happened? And he goes, well, I asked her what she thought about Brett Kavanaugh, and I was like, he's like, well, she just thought that, like, we should give him a chance and at least let him, like, he should be proven guilty, you know, before we, like, deny him entrance into the Supreme Court. He's like, that dude raped, like, 16 women. And I'm like, do you actually believe that? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I told her I had to go to the bathroom, and I left her with the bill. And he was, like, proud of himself. And I was like, dude, that is so pathetic. I was like, I can't believe you did that. I was like, that is like absolutely disgusting. Like,
who is that dude?
He's just this, he's like your typical millennial dude. It's just basically, it was really interesting because I talked to him every day and he would basically tell me like whatever the talking point was on like, you know, the Colbert Report or like Trevor Noah, or, you know, he's just totally tapped into everything through his phone. And he's like, look, it says right here, he potentially raped up to 16 women. And I'm like, do you know what potentially means?
Didn't a girl just come out and say she made it up?
Yeah.
Because she was, like, frustrated or hated something? Or
yeah. Right. I'm sure. Yeah. Because she wants to be able to kill her baby. She's like, I want to kill it. I want to be able to cut it out of me because I hate the fact that I was created in such a way that when I have sex, I create people inside of me. I hate the fact that I'm female. It's like, why do you hate yourself? If you actually believe in science and biology, why don't you just accept who you are? I accept you. You know, it's so sad because really what it does is it's genius from the perspective of the devil because it actually separates all these people who otherwise would probably end up together and have like semi-functional relationships and be decent people and like maybe have a kid or two. You know what I mean? But instead, they're, like, surrounded by cats or, like...
Well, when these,
video games.
In 10 years, maybe in 5 years, maybe even in 1 year, when these sex robots come out and they're walking the streets and, like, I was having these ideas.
I'm not going to put up with that.
I was having, like, these Westworld ideas. What if there was, like, this sex robot that was, like, it goes out, like, an android and, like, tries to get guys to fight over who gets to sleep with the sex, you know... Shit like that.
Of course. Yeah, I'm sure any of that kind of disgusting... It's all possible with that. I mean, it's just sad, man. It's really...
I have, like, all these, like... I don't know if you've seen Westworld or not.
But yeah, I've seen some of it.
It'd be fun to go out with, like, you know, you go out at night and, like, vigilante, you hunt sex robots, you know?
That could be, like, a comic book series.
Yeah, like, android hunt. Like, we're the android hunters. We go out late at night and, like, take out the clerk, like, the McDonald's clerk that's an android. We don't, like, steal anything. Crazy Christians. We just disable them.
And then all the liberal comedians would be like, well, you know what they really want to do is they actually want to take advantage of the sex robots themselves. Oh, you know.
And some of them probably, you know, what can you do? Sometimes some of them will. It's hilarious, man.
Oh my gosh.
But it's just funny because like you see all these women getting plastic surgery and it's like we could train them to act like robots because that's what they're trying to become.
No, the funny thing is that they don't need any of the makeup and the plastic surgery is ridiculous. They really just need like a slight attitude change and adjustment. Most of them they don't really need any of that, and they waste time and money on it, and it's just bad for culture and society, and it doesn't work. I've seen older women who just ate healthy and exercised, and you know.
Well, you know, it's sad and it's depressing. Great. Some people are better looking than other people.
Well, of course, that's the other thing.
And no matter what you do,
but if
you're gonna know it. You're going to know it, and it doesn't matter how many people you fool. You're going to know it, and that sucks. And get over it. And that's why you need Jesus, because it does suck. But
yeah, but the truth is, and that's one of the liberating aspects of Christianity, is that kind of stuff doesn't really matter quite as much. Like, it does, but it's not, the emphasis is not...
Well, in many ways, life would be easier if you were ugly. or unattractive. You can get on disability. You can go and say, I need to be on disability, and like they won't even question it. But like someone like me goes in there and I have to like, you gotta like, you know, really be crippled or something, you know?
Disability, man, that's, I think that's a road to death.
Part of me thinks going on disability, I've had these, like, I don't know if temptations, but it would be, some of us that, you know, would do good, the right thing on it, should maybe take advantage of it, you know, to follow your art, you know? I'm technically disabled. I have a broken ankle, and I could probably claim I can't work somehow, but...
Yeah, but I don't think that's good. I think that would limit, you're limiting yourself, you know?
Yeah, you're limiting yourself as far as maybe a career status, but I'm not saying I wouldn't work. I would put all my energy towards, you know.
Right.
Which would be funded, and which a lot of people are doing that, you know?
No, I know. In fact, one of my relatives was talking to me about that, and that's actually his plan. But it didn't work out quite. So he's like, you know, now I have to work. And I'm like, man, if I could work 40 hours a week or maybe 30 hours a week and pay my bills, like, and just work on music the other, like, I could be so productive if I didn't have kids. Like, but that's kind of, it's all really in the eye of the beholder, because it's like once you have kids, you work so much more that you realize, oh, man, if I would have worked this hard when I was younger, I would have been, like, way ahead, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird thing. But no, I mean, you know, it's like I feel the same way about settling. Like, I have a decent job. I'm sure if I stuck around for a long time, I'll get a decent, you know, position. I'll get a decent wage. And so that's always a temptation to just kind of, you know, that's kind of my family tradition. That's what... My grandpa got a good job and, you know, sat on that and raised a big family, which is cool, you know. But then there's also a part of me that's like, you know, I don't know. I could do more, you know.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's we're called to do and we end up in places that we, you know, it is the right place for us because we're being set up to do something where what we're really supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might be ground zero, you know? Sometimes you got to hit ground zero to find out who you really are before now you can finally do something. Sometimes it takes, you know, it seems like it took me all the way to my 30s to hit ground zero and find out, you know, I don't know. It's like I knew what was important, but I didn't care my whole life. Or I did care, but life seems so slow when you're young. And then when you hit your 30s, it's like, dude, life's over. Life is so short. It just flips on you.
Yeah.
And some people can't handle it. Some people just have a meltdown. And then they just like, I'm forever 21, bro. You know, and they're
another guy I worked with was like that. He was in his 40s and he would make really crude jokes. And I'm like, dude, you have daughters. What are you doing? You know, he'd make a joke about a Catholic priest. And I'd be like, you're an ex-Catholic.
they can't escape it.
An ex-Catholic who's divorced and you hate your ex-wife and you're, you know, you're making like high school jokes, you know, and you have a daughter. Like, he's like, oh, whatever, I'm just playing, you know, but don't bring my daughter into this kind of thing. Like, that's where you cross the line. It's like, dude, you've already crossed the line, little man. Like, don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, you have your line and I have mine. Like, and you've already crossed mine. So if you want to get like that, like, don't try to flip it on me and act like you have moral justification to be angry. And he was lazy and he was just. You know, we'd work all day and he'd pack like 30 boxes, you know, and he's one of those guys, he'd take like $1,000 light and he'd like throw some bubbles in the bottom and then drop it in there and then throw some more stuff on top and kind of rustle it around and then, you know, put the lid on it and not do it very well. And you're just looking at it and you're like, man, if I spent that much money and I got that in the mail, I'd be like, who the hell shipped this? You know?
That's how I am. Yeah, I open things up and I'm like, crackheads. Or I'll have like a judgment that's like, sometimes I think it's pretty close to true, you know? Like, fat person or, you know, miserable.
Well, certain people believe that those kind of things are caused by spiritual entities, you know, demons and demonic spirits and things that sort of whisper into your inner ear and tell you, you're worthless. You know, you're pathetic. You're nothing. You know, you all these different things, and then people hear those things, and then they go, I have depression, and they go, here, take some drugs. Side effects may include suicide,
weariness, like anger, bouts of fits of aggression, you know,
blah, white blah, supremacy, blah. KKK. That would be a good, that would be a good cartoon. Yeah. Side effects may include voting for Trump, killing your whole family, going to school and shooting everyone.
They're crazy, okay? They're crazy.
Oh, like, what would Trump's medicine be called? Like,
I drink it every day. It's the best.
Trumplinol.
Trumplinator. Trumplinate. Yeah, Trump Aid. There you go. It's called Trump Aid.
Side like, effects may include walking perfectly straight.
You know, no. That could have happened. I'll bet you if he wanted to, he could have, instead of becoming president, he could have been like, I want to make Gatorade. I hate Gatorade. They insulted me. How dare they? I'm going to take over their whole industry. And then he creates Trump Aid, and like it shows his face on it. And it's like, I drink this, and then I build a building. You know, like, it's just funny that he might actually do something like that.
Well, why not? You know, what's wrong?
I mean, honestly, you're allowed to be president. That much money doing something.
No, it's like, he's creative, so he can't be president. He's a celebrity. Well, like, aren't celebrities artists and creative people? And like, that's where the original celebrity came from.
No, but they've evolved, and now they're only allowed to have one side of the political spectrum. Yeah, no. Exactly. And that's why the next step is like a new YouTube, a new Google.
The new Hollywood is the new
a new Hollywood, exactly.
Is podcasting.
Yeah, we do know the same way that they have Hollywood, we need to have a conservative version of Hollywood. Like we need a conservative Facebook, like all just across the board, because they need to understand we were just being like civil and we were just being reasonable. And you said that, you know, Facebook is just a platform. And now you're using it like a publisher and you're being forceful politically and you're banning people and you're after they've, you know, helped you make all this money. Like someone like Alex Jones, he helped those companies make a lot of money. He gave them a lot of traffic. That's part of their value as a company. It's how many people are on their website. And so they've just stripped him of that in an instant because they disagree with his political views and what he's trying to do. And it's just, you know, if they can do that, then okay, fine. You know, then people need to be able to say what they want to say. But that's why, you know, they've already tried to pass bills and things. You know, there's already a woman, I think, in the UK.
Here's my theory why they banned
him.
Here's my theory.
Somewhere in Europe who, you know, criticized Islam, and now she's maybe it's Germany, I can't remember, it's all becoming a blur, but you know, she criticized Islam and said you know, it says right here that Muhammad is a pedophile by Western standards, and they're like, you have to pay a fine now, or like, you know, go to jail, or like do some community service because you insulted Muhammad. And it's like, well, like I almost feel like liberals really get into the whole, you know, being dominated by another man, you know, kind of thing. Like, well, I don't know. It's just weird. It's like, what are you doing? Like, what? Are you insane? Like Christians don't throw homosexuals off of buildings for being gay. They just tell them that they should probably stop. And now they've actually, like, half of them are like, I love my gay priest. He's not bad at all. And it's like, oh okay. Yeah, that's working out great.
No, that's where devil sneaks in, by the Christians being nice and providing safe harbor and second chances. That's the safe haven for all the evildoers.
Well, yeah.
To have a social world, but be sly snakes in the grass.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, to be like, I'm Mr. Holy Guy, you know, to almost make a mockery of the outfit and everything they're doing, that, you know, the uniform of their position, and to be like, now I'm going to go back to my $1 million villa and have sex with my little Corona boy. Like, I'm going to go sodomize this little South American. Like, oh my gosh. Like, really? Yes, and I'm going to do it on the church's dime. Like, wow. You don't feel bad about that? Like, well, maybe a little, but, you know, God is merciful. It's like, I can't. I think some of them actually believe themselves. They believe in that, like, what they're doing is really not that bad. But I can get that. Like, I actually even empathize with them, you know? But, like, at some point, you got to just be like, no, this is wrong.
Here's the deal.
It's wrong.
I've done certain drugs, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm grateful for that. I got to be educated,
Wait, you're saying because of the drugs?
Right. Or? Because it's like, it's like, you know, you don't, it's like the Hard Knocks. You're not going to find out who you are until you've survived the Hard Knocks. And the Hard Knocks are, will kill you. We don't want to live in the Hard Knocks of life, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to be
But honest, what I will say is certain drugs or dependencies, even like sugar,
well, it gets all
people to convince themselves. They make up excuses and they justify things they do that are wrong. And in their mind, they have a reason to justify it because they make it fair. They figure out a way to make it so it's fair, and God understands, and he understands that this is just a part of your life you have to get through right now. And you and there is some mercy in that because you are completely being driven by a false entity. And it can be sugar, it can be cocaine, it can be even marijuana. No,
yeah, well, it's all this in the seven deadly sins. You know, it's like I can go without food and almost eat nothing if I'm engaging in other types of
sin. Exactly.
Like straight up, like I don't, like exactly. I can fast. But what's really hard is trying to fast and trying to pray. Like that's really difficult. But when you break through certain barriers and you take your, you know, mind and your intellect to a whole nother level where you go, wait a minute, like I am, my brain is dominating my body and my spirit and my soul, you know, is crying out to, you know, the creator of this universe, and I want to know more and I want to understand, you know. And it's like, for me, it's like I haven't got much farther than that, you know, like
I stay at step one, bro.
No, it's, well, but it's what it is you have to just keep pushing yourself, you know. And it's, even if it takes, you know, longer than you would like, if you take incremental steps, you can ultimately do whatever you want to do. And then you could, and then it's just your attitude, because if you learn, oh, I'm really fast this way, but I'm really slow this way, then you can overcompensate for where you're slow. And then, you know what I mean? Like you, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. And it's just like, you know, it's really weird for me. It's like, you know, some of the things, that a lot of people are like, oh, that's not that difficult. It's, for me, it's like, yeah, that's a little bit difficult. But then some things that most people, you know, don't really understand how to do, I feel like it's easy for me. And that's a weird thing, you know. And everyone's different, and everyone is, you know, got their own different combination, you know. Some people are just kind of okay at everything but not particularly good at anything, you know. And it's like, you got to play the hand you're dealt in life. You get it.
That's me. I'm okay at everything. I'm okay at everything, but I'm not really good at one thing.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't.
Some people think I'm really good at one thing. I think
you and I have a similar confliction. I think we're both potentially really good at a lot of different things, but we're actually pretty good at a lot of different things.
Yeah, I don't want to focus on one thing because I love all those other things I do.
Well, right.
And so I can't get like pro at one thing.
Well, one of the things I've been trying to work on is how can I combine all these things that I like into one job? And that's what we're
talking about. Podcasting.
That's one way. Well, yeah, because the other thing, you could podcast while you work. That could, oh, I don't, that's a great idea.
Well, I've done it. I was mad one day at work and I was podcasting. I just turned it on. I just turned it on in my pocket and like and it was pretty great. Like I thought it was great listening to it myself. It was like,
well, the concept is definitely, yeah. I mean, it could be really interesting. Like,
yeah, like
you could have philosophy, like two blue collar guys actually have a really in-depth conversation while they do like really impressive work, and people are like, oh, wow, like, I've tried to paint my house before. That's really difficult, and that guy's just doing that. But they're talking about, like, you know, all of these different things that, you know, most people don't like to dive into because they're actually, you know, interested in truth. They're not just gunks who just, like, you know, I just work, you know. You know, there's something in modern society where people, you know, feel like it's degrading to do work with your hands, you know. It's interesting because in the past it used to be the opposite. That's what I learned today in the art history.
Well, they turn it degrading. It's because they can't do it with their hands. They've lost that touch, you know.
Well, like in the old days, like, you know,
it's now swinging back that direction.
Well, I mean, I hope so, but
absolutely.
I mean, it seems like it goes back and forth. But in Italy, like, you know, that was the thing. It was like, if you were a tax collector and you didn't work with your hands and you just like used your cleverness to make money, you couldn't even go to confession. Like, you know, it was like, you're going to go to hell because you just keep doing these horrible sins and you should stop. And it's just funny because, like, in those days, like, if you did something with your hands, it was like, who could do the most with their hands, you know? That's like the environment Michelangelo grew up in. Like, what can I do? You know, oh, I guess I could do this. I could do this. Okay, I'll try this. I'll try this. Like, no limits on himself. Just like, whatever I can do, I'm going to try it, you know? Like, rather than thinking too much about it, I'm just going to be thrust into it and just do it, you know? And I think that's, like, the secret to being a really good artist is just, if you can motivate yourself in that way just so you push forward, you actually probably end up being more successful than most people. And that's why you'll hear some artists, like musicians, and you're like, how did this guy get famous? Because, like, yeah, that song's kind of cool, but it's not necessarily perfect this way or that way. It's like, well, because he actually did it, you know, or she actually did it. They just did it. And they played the shows, and they're still playing shows. And you know what I mean? It's like, it's a whole nother aspect of art that is just really important. And a lot of people, I don't know, I feel like art's getting a downgrade.
No one cares about art anymore.
They do and they don't. It's weird.
No, I'll see an incredible, people that really love the awesome artists of today don't have any money. Like, there's artists I see that do some awesome, like, creative different mixed mediums and stuff, and I think, man, if I was a millionaire, I would give this guy, like, $5,000 for that painting.
Right.
I'm the guy that doesn't have any money. But the people, and the rich people, they like my kind of art, where it's like, you know, oh, nice landscaping, where I just like, what? I'm not a craftsman. Some of these artists are craftsmen, and they make incredible stuff that's just like...
Well, yeah, we know some guys. I mean, well, there's one guy I can think of in particular, he's not necessarily... you know, like on a Michelangelo level, as far as being able to draw a figure, the human figure, but you give him a landscape and the tricks he does with color and how he blends the scene. And, you know, he makes these monster fantasy, almost like just epic desert paintings of landscapes, and people pay $10,000 cause they want it in their living room. You know, they're like, yeah, look at this painting. This is where we live, you know? They sit in their living room and they go, yeah, this is where we're going to retire and die, you know? And so they will pay that much money. But it's a weird market. It's hard to find, to tap into it. But you got to be relentless if you want to.
Yeah, you have to. Well, if you're going to make money painting pictures, it's because you love painting pictures. And I'm not going to make money painting pictures because I love painting pictures when I'm in the mood to paint a picture. But I don't love doing it every day like I do, like writing music or... You know, my artistic kind of directions go, I love other things more, you know what I mean? I'd rather, like, restring a guitar and experiment on some weird tuning for, like, 4 hours and get it all set up and have, like, completely zero success than just, I could have cranked out 2 paintings in 4 hours, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't love painting that much, I don't think. Sometimes I do, I get in the mood, you know?
Yeah, but if you could make money, if you could at least make the money you're making now.
That would inspire you. Okay. That would inspire me. Yeah, I guess.
Okay, right. That's what I'm saying. If you could make just a base amount of income every year just doing paintings,
it's I would
like,
do it.
Yeah, me too. Because it's way better than working a regular job, especially if you're a creative person. And that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out is like, I want to do that. Like, I want to find a way to make art, you know, a financial reality to where I can actually just have a family and, you know, purchase. Own some property. Like, I'm not trying to be greedy, you know, but I like the Western man concept. You got to
get yourself a little corner of the world.
Oh, yeah, 2 acres and a cow.
Well, other than that, what's, you know, nice. That's going to be a Christian way of you making the most of your flesh burdened life, you know?
Well, you know, it's my home already. It's like, with all these little kids running around, it's blossoming into, it's like this little, it's a miniature version of Christendom. There's crosses everywhere and there's prayers said at regimented times throughout the day, and like, you know, they're learning and they're growing and they're playing, and it's like this little wonderland to them, and they don't know about anything else, you know. They have this beautiful little existence, and it's like, that's, you know, I can see the pearl of our civilization right in front of me, you know. That's why we invented, you know, that's why the patriarchy invented tampons. You know, that's why we invented toilets and modern plumbing. You're welcome. You know? so you know what I mean? Like the slab you're standing on, was it poured by 50% females? Well, no, because you wouldn't let us work the jobs. It's just like, come on, man. Like, stop it. Stop being ridiculous. Like, no. Like, you can create a person inside of you and push it into the world. that's really cool. I can't do that. Like, when my wife gets pregnant, I get jealous because, like, seriously, she has that connection with our new child in her womb, and she can communicate with this child. And
you're just some spaz donor outside. Out there. You're just like this pet dog out there waiting to be fed.
Right? Yeah.
I did my duties. I did my duties, master. You're just out there shaking your tail in the cold.
There's a part of you that you feel like you're like you're just.
Oh, I know that feeling. It's true.
It's a very humbling feeling. But then, the cool thing is that's what makes you very pro-life if you're perceptive and I think, you know, honestly, emotionally open and intelligent. You know, you're sitting there, you know, I'm putting my ear on my wife's stomach and I can feel, you know, the kicks of the baby. And like, you know, I go,
you know, it's amazing. Think about this.
I go 1, 2, 3. And then I feel, you know,
no, boom, you don't.
Yes, I did. No, you I go don't. 1. And then I feel 1, you know, like, she literally, like, there was some level of communication going on there. Like,
I bet you could teach the ABCs. I bet there's a way you could teach the count to 1 to 10 by doing
that. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, over speculating, but I am saying that something there, you know, and when she came out and I spoke, she turned and looked at me like, I know that voice. I remember that voice because I talk to her every night.
Yeah.
And there are people who never do that. You know, they go put the baby. They go, okay, baby, I love you. Good night.
I'm going to read my book now.
Is that Trump? Is that Trump?
No. This is like the.
I'm going to put you to bed now.
This is like the opposite of Trump. No. But no, it's you know, it's like okay, baby, good night, and then they just put the baby in the you know the crib, and the baby's like just laying there, you know,
a psychopath in the making.
Yeah.
This like, fall,
neglect.
Right before Christmas and everything holy, you are going to meet the devil.
You thought the Russians were bad?
No, it's terrible. I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm not saying that that's necessarily horrible, but I mean, yeah, there's a certain level of disconnect.
Yeah, people that don't want to have kids, or it's an unfortunate thing. You know, unless you're like a Christian or you understand what's really going on. Your child's going to be neglected like a neglected dog. It's going to have that skittish tendencies.
Oh, that's very triggering. I mean, I would say that I don't know if that's always the case because I know there's some people.
Well, there's miracles.
Well, yeah, but yeah, no, I think there are a lot more miracles than people realize. But no, I mean, there's definitely people who are raised in the opposite environment that come to the truth because they want it. But
I've had tons of friends that speak out and go, you know, I was never close with my parents, and they explain this feeling that they're going through, and since I don't relate to it, I know exactly what they're talking about because I fear not having that. I and therefore my imagination, because I'm fairly intelligent, I know what I can imagine how lonely and what you're going through that you have problems and issues with it. And right. So
well, right, because, yeah, there's
people. A great comedian, Theo Vaughn, talks about it. How he was, his dad was like 70 years old when he was born, and his mom was like 36.
Oh, wow.
And he was like a toddler running around. And then his dad died when he was like 4 years old or something, and then his mom's like, you know, like a 50-year-old woman. And
she's like, you go to your soccer practice, Johnny.
Yeah, and he was just out there in the streets with the kids.
That sounds like Robin Williams or something. Maybe it's a comedian thing.
I love
Theo. By the way, I shook this headphone jack, and now I have surround sound, and I'm like, I feel like now that I can hear.
You want to delete the whole episode?
No, like I went too loud because I was good, but no, you can.
A little bit of rough around the edges is a human, you know, that's too bad. It'd be fun to do like, we're not even humans. We're what Google AI thinks a podcast two characters would be talking about. And that's in my voice. These voices are a conglomerate of different people's voices, including your presidents of the United States.
How do you even jump in on them or something like that? Sense. Okay.
Smoke break.
It would be perfect to cut to commercial after that.
What would our advertisers be? What would be one of our advertisers? I'm one of those people, like, let's say someone comes to us and, like, we want to sponsor your podcast, and will you do this? And then, like, I read about, like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Like, some people, they'll let anything sponsor them. Me, I'd be like, no, you guys, I don't care how much money you give me. I can't sponsor this shit on my... Seriously.
It's like,
yeah, but you could be rich and quit your job and be like, I can't do it.
Well, the Black Keys sold, I think they sold one of their songs, a clip of their songs for, a mayonnaise commercial in Europe.
They did?
Yeah. But everybody gave them a ton of crap about it. But then the guy was like, I mean, I got like hundreds of thousands of dollars and I was able to buy a new tour van.
Yeah, but still, like, hardcore fans, it's bitch made, man. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he was like, it takes like all of our parents, like, you know, several years to make that much money, and all we had to do was let them play our clip of our jam for some mayonnaise commercial.
Ah, man, that hurts. That's like turns my stomach. Yeah, I would probably sell out too, though.
If someone was like, Tim, I'm going to give you $180,000 if you'll let me play one of your songs over a mayonnaise commercial. Like, yeah. The average person would be like, what the hell?
If he was straight.
Wait, yeah. bring me a mayonnaise sandwich right now.
Maybe if he was a straight guy, but if it was a gay guy asking me, I could. That'd be like sin, bro.
That's a hate crime.
That's a sin. I want you to play your music over my mayonnaise sandwich. I'd be like, dude. I'd be like, I know you do, but.
Oh, that's funny.
Man, mayonnaise sandwich. What the hell's a mayonnaise sandwich?
I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of mayonnaise. I always get easy mayo. You know, if it's an Italian cold cut, maybe just a little bit.
I love mayonnaise. You know. I don't have nothing gay, not saying anything gay at all or whatever.
Tim, that's homophobic.
No, it's not. It's humor. I worked with a guy, dude. Listen to this. I don't put nothing in, anything white in or around my mouth is what he said. What day and I looked over at him like, he was dead serious. Like, I'm talking, he was, now that was, I think, homophobic or something.
He was like, I'm not one of them.
I'm sorry. Am I talking about something totally just?
It is a tough subject to get into. A lot of people will just, if you talk any, I mean, especially for me because of the whole scandal thing and how the media is just saying the Catholic Church is just creepy and weird. Look at these weird outfits these priests wear.
I see that point of view.
Well, yeah, but it's the sad thing is it's like, no, it's really just the gay ones. Like, really, that's, if they were not there, then we wouldn't be having these problems. Like for real.
Well, like, you might not be having those problems, but you definitely would be having people thinking it's just as weird and just as creepy. It would probably even be more so creepy because it would be so flawless that's not normal. It's almost normal that there's a bunch of chaos and craziness in part of it. Just like anything else, you know? It's like what makes Walmart normal is that, like, the guy that says hello at the door is there's always something strange or, like, backwards about him, you know? if everyone that worked at Walmart was, like, everything was just perfect and plush, I think the right word is plush, then it would be like, this place is creepy, man. There's something going on. But when you go, but we don't think it's creepy. We're not afraid of getting murdered in Walmart. We're just like, this place is whack. Get me out of here. Because it's like, it's familiar,
it's,
you know?
It's Walmart.
It's familiar. That's why people don't like Walmart. They like to go places that aren't familiar. Like wine glasses clinking and clanging in, like, low-lit rooms and, like, you know.
There's a certain charm to private businesses. Definitely. They're organized more for a purpose that's very obvious. But they're usually more interesting.
You know what also bothers me? It's when people, like, I have nothing against gay people. They have to, like, say it really, and they get loud. I respect everyone. I even got a couple friends that are gay. And I like, all this stuff. Like, they're so trying to, like, defend that, oh, I'm not homophobic at all. I love everybody.
Well, see, here's the actual Christian position is, like, I do love everybody, but sex is ordered to a certain purpose, and that's what it's ordered to. I totally empathize with wanting to take it in other directions because, you know, there's a lot of different directions you can take your sexuality, and it's never been more in your face. It's never been more like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at it. Like, there's just a million things blasted out there for free and anyone can look at them, and no one's considering, like, you know, is this good or bad, or what kind of effect is this having? And it's not anything new in human culture. With exception to the technology, like, the ancient Romans had pornography. You know, they had abortion, or I guess you could say exposing.
Well, it was worse than that. It was just like throw it in a pit, tie a bag around it in a rock, and throw it in the canal. It's like they kill kittens, you know?
Yeah.
That, I mean, that goes on today with human beings.
All right.
And we try to act like, we're, you know, we, our society became so sophisticated that we became cut off from the harsh humanity of life.
Yeah, now we're
sleeping. And we're like in shock. Now that we're becoming age of reasons, we're like, this is, it's craziness, you know? And it's like, I don't know, man.
Maybe that's why God made it that way in the first place. Because he knew that, like, if everything's too easy, you know. But even when things are difficult, people do terrible things. But
right.
It's yeah.
But
it's,
I think we've always known that it's messed up and it's wrong. And so we're always trying to change it and battle it, you know. Because if we didn't, we would have all just murdered each other by now. We would just abort every, like, the gorillas are out there always trying to abort every other gorilla colony. Like, they go into those, they run into those other colonies and smash all the children, like, steal the women, make them their own baby maker slaves, kill all the alpha males.
Yeah.
They're, like, constantly trying to eradicate all other species of their own kind. And, like, it's nature, just let it ring its course. And it's like, all right, let's grab baseball bats and get natural, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You annoy me, smash, you know?
Right, except for we have nuclear weapons.
And then what else annoys me is like, can't we sit down and talk about it? Like, let's sit down and can't we hash this out? It's like, you just got a bomb threat in the mail and you want to sit down and hash it out and have a conversation what the problem is? You better be packing heat already and be ready to defend yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Talk with your hands. I learned in Kung Fu, keep your mouth shut and talk with your hands. Speak with your hands. Meaning, like, speak with your actions and what you create and your fruits of your labor. You want to, you know, like, you think the wall is going to be a good thing? Build the wall, you know? Prove to us that it's a good thing.
Right.
Because it's nothing if it's not built. It's just in a bad idea. A good idea is not a good idea unless it comes to fruition. It's a bad idea. It was a distraction. A good idea can be the worst distraction there ever was if you don't bring it to fruition.
All right. I mean, so far I haven't, and that's kind of the whole thing with the whole, you know, conservative movement and Alex Jones. It's you can clearly see what's going on. Like, you can see the more extreme someone gets in their accusations of the New World Order and the elite and all those different people, the more banned they get.
I don't think
and the less they criticize it, and the more they go, oh, that's just a conspiracy, you know, theory. I'm just a conservative politically. You know, then they're less affected by, like, censorship and things like that. But I think that the shift will just continue, and they'll just cut you off.
Here, you know, what happened with Alex Jones, they say he got banned because of something mean he said, and, like, one specific thing. After all the millions of things they hated about him, they picked one thing. It's not, I think it was ever since he went on Joe Rogan, and he crosses the line as far as possibility. He goes into the realm of it could be true, which there's truth in that, is keeping an open mind and being observant, and the truth is stranger than fiction. He keeps that door open. Other talk show guys and conservatives, they like seal, they close, they go only so far, and then they don't go like, well, these people believe in aliens and they believe in devil worship. Some of them actually do, like Aleister Crowley. But they never talk about that depth of it.
Right. They do, but that's the thing, is that there is open Satanism, and there is definitely people who believe in a New World Order. That is the original, like, the Enlightenment history. Like, they painted out the crucifixes, and they, you know, broke statues and stuff and replaced them with, like, you know, statements about fraternity and all this other bullshit about, you know, a brotherhood of man, you know, and they're still trying to do that, and they still believe in that. It's just that, you know, the torch keeps getting passed, and, you know, if you know that that's what's going on, then it's not, a lot of this stuff I don't think is very surprising, because the main thing I hear from Alex Jones, the main thing, when I forget about all the, you know, ridiculous things he said, or the BS, you know, or the speculative, more entertainment side, he's the main person I've heard, you know, criticizing the Federal Reserve. I literally didn't know what fractional reserve banking was. And I was highly educated, you know, by most people's standards in the world. I went to a private school. You know, I did decently in one of the higher ranking schools, you know, so I wasn't like super, super smart when it came to those kind of academics, but I was, decent. You know, I could definitely pass my classes and get through and in some cases do really well in specific things, but, you know, it's just, I didn't even know about that. I didn't even know about fractional reserve banking. He's the one guy.
He talks about things that cross their line.
Well, right.
Yeah. And at first it was all like, oh, he's crazy loon. But people start thinking about it like, yeah, what is the deal with that? And then like later on, like Ron Paul comes out and like edit the Fed. And people are like, edit the Fed? What the hell is that all about? And then they go back to like, well, didn't Alex Jones was talking about like how they worship the devil and the Federal Reserve? And so they have to get rid of him.
Well, and the most recent thing that he said is he said that... from what I understand, he listening to what he was trying to get at, what is this guy actually trying to say? Like, it sounds like what he's saying is that the New World Order, or whatever you want to call it, is the giant, technology companies like Google are merging financially with, places like China, and their, intention is to change the structure of the world and make it more coercive, like China. You know what I mean? And they think that they are superior and they have their philosophy is superior, but they're, of course they're using technology that was largely created in the West and they're running with it. And, they have some of the worst human rights records in the history of the world. I mean, the stuff that happens in China is just like you said earlier, like killing kittens, throw it in the canal. Like that kind of stuff is just routine daily thing there. And the state is everything. The state is God, And that's kind of, the fact that he's pointing that out and he's saying, hey, all of these companies, they own you. They have a detailed profile on your entire life. They can look at your Facebook. They can look at all your posts and they can go, oh, you said this and this about this political event. Or you believe this and that, it's like they've got all your info and you gave it to them voluntarily because you trusted that, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just want to, connect with my friends and on the internet. And it's just little old me. Who cares about my Facebook, but it's all things that can be leveraged against you. And you can see what they're doing and how they're trying to limit free speech and they don't want people to be able to.
Well, we've been getting shadow banned on Facebook. I don't even go, my mother's talked about it. Like you'll post something and like the one person you wanted to see it the most, cause you knew the reason you posted it because you knew like your lover was going to see it. I never saw that. No, I never saw that. And they have to scroll back like a month and then, Oh, here it is. Yeah. It happens all the time. And I end up seeing all these people's posts. I don't care anything about them. And then like, I'll be like, I haven't seen my sister post anything in like 6 months. And then I go over and actually click on her page, and there's a post every like twice a day for 6 months. It's been exposed. I mean, I'm not even saying that that's like crazy. Something that seems
heard
like
a lot about that, but that's
totally absolutely the truth.
See, because I don't even use Facebook anymore. I've been calling it face rape for years, so I don't.
They do their algorithm.
Like I don't even use it.
Hardly. They set up their algorithm, and it shadow bans all of us from each other.
Well, the interesting thing is, like, I've been trying to get a hold of a family member for months, and I had, like, 4 phone numbers, and none of them worked, and then I finally was able to get a hold of this person on Facebook. And it's like, that's, if I didn't have Facebook, I wouldn't even be able to contact this person, And that's the only reason I have Facebook, but I'm kind of at the point where I'm just going to take everything off of it and just...
I am, too. I wish I could get rid of it, but you almost have to. It's almost forced you because... it's the only place to get in touch with your family.
Well, but it's not really... The thing is that there's nothing about Facebook. What I've realized is it's like I liked being able to express myself on a platform, but it's all just been manipulated and twisted. And the other thing is it's shown a lot. There's a whole generation of people now who, when they get triggered, that's it. They're done. They're like, I refuse to speak to you. You're a terrible person. You're horrible. Like I literally had this woman who, this crazy feminist woman, just filled with vitriol and rage and hatred at her own situation and her own life and her own screwed up scenario and just tried to take it out on me. And it's like, and she like tried to, she pressed my buttons and said all these nasty things to me and said I was like worthless and I didn't deserve to be heard. And I didn't even literally get a sentence out. Because she goes, well, what do you think's the issue with relationships these days? And I said, I warned her. I was like, I have a tendency to push people's buttons without intending to, because I just have strong opinions, and you know, I don't care if it offends you if I believe it's the truth. I find it more offensive to offend the truth than to offend a person who doesn't like the truth. So, you know, and she goes, well, no, I'm an open book. I like to hear what everybody has to say. And I said, well, I think there's kind of an issue between men and women, you know, like, I think women sort of are obligated to men in a certain way, and I think men are obligated to women in a certain way, and they sort of owe each other things in relationships, and they don't give it to each other anymore, and as a result, they're both miserable, and they're always breaking and fighting and breaking up, and kind of the stuff it seems like you're upset about, you know. And she's like, well, what do you think that women owe men? What do you think that women need to give men more that they don't give them? And I said, well, it depends on the context. Like, what do you mean? Like a family, you know? Or like just single dating couple? She's like, no, like a family. Like a husband and a wife with kids. What do you think, you know, a woman should do more for her husband in the modern day? And I'm like, I think she should try to work on being more respectful of him and more like, you know, respectful to, like, his authority as, like, a man in the relationship, you know, considering the fact that if someone broke into the house and tried to, you know, stab you, he would probably stand in front of you and try to kill that person. Like, whereas if the reverse happened, you know, you probably wouldn't be able to save him.
You just watch me get chopped up while you scream.
I mean, some women, it depends. Some women, I mean, I personally think my wife would grab out a pistol and just blow a dude's brains out. I don't think she would hesitate. But that, which is the beautiful thing about guns, is it makes women physically as powerful as any man, which is a wonderful thing. Maybe if we started making pink guns, the pussy hat crowd would be like, oh, well, they're pink. They're so cute. I don't know. But, you know, it's... She lost it. She absolutely lost it. She was just like, you're a horrible person. I don't want to hear
it. It's funny when you see those crowds.
And I'm like, dude, I didn't even tell you what I think men owe women. And she's like, I don't even care what you think. And I was like, so you don't even want to know what I think men should do in return for women? She was like, no, fuck yeah. You know, it said all these nasty things to me. And I'm just like, okay. You know, and I got really, you know, frustrated about it. It genuinely, like, riled me up and made me upset. It, like, ruined my night. And I, you know, was all argumentative and just, it was like she transferred her negative emotion, brought it to the table and just projected it on me and just said all these horrible things about me. And I wanted to do the same thing to her, but then I have to confess that. And that's psychologically destructive. It's like, because I'm Christian, I know she's wrong. And I know I could just hack her to pieces intellectually, and I could say this horrible things to her, right? But then if I do that, that's like a horrible sin, because I'm damaging her. And it's like, yeah, well, she's damaging me. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, you know? I mean, the other day, this big overweight lady comes up to my window, and she goes like, "Not," you know, knocks on my window, and I'm like, whoa.
At your house?
No, I just pulled into the parking lot at the store.
Oh, yeah?
And I roll down the window, and I go, hello? And I figure she's going to, like, ask me for money or something. And she goes, I just wanted you to know that you took my parking spot, and that was really rude. And you should be ashamed of yourself. No, she didn't. Yeah, she did. And I just, like, started laughing. I was like, are you serious? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm serious. You think it's funny? And I said, lady, I was in the parking lot and you were out of the parking lot. She goes, I had my signal on. I was turning left into the parking lot. And I said, right, but you were on a street. And she goes, no. She goes, I was in the parking lot. This is the outer ring of the parking lot. And I'm like, okay, well, I was in the inner ring of the parking lot. Right behind three cars, and each one of the three cars found a parking spot, and then I finally had my chance to get a parking spot, and I got it, and then you knocked on my window and told me that it was yours because you were out in the intersection and you saw it from a distance. I was like, you're ridiculous. And then her daughter leans out the window, and she's like, just looks miserable, and she's like in her early 20s and like must weigh like over 230 pounds. It's just tragic. And she's just like, you're an a-hole, you know, in front of my kids. And I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that you are the person who's the problem. You're definitely the problem, you know. But it was just, and then they like both like waddled into the store, you know, to load their cart up with like Jujubes and Twinkies and stuff. And it's just like, this is not sustainable, these kind of people. This is ridiculous. Like, I mean, who, you know, do you think that couple voted for, you know, gun rights or limited government or, you know, religious freedom or, you know, I mean, they're just so, I don't know. And I'm not trying to paint all of society with a wide brush. There's lots of people who are really good people, you know, but there's definitely a shift where people feel justified in being really nasty because they're like, I disagree with you. Like what that lady said to me, that's what made me mad about it, was like, because you pissed me off, I'm not even going to hear you out, I'm writing you off as a human being, and like, I don't, if you got hit by a car, I'd be like, sir, is you right? Like, literally, that nasty. And it's like, I just disagree with you, and I think that you're wrong. You, like, are going to, like, put a curse on me. I hope you're not, like, some sort of crazy Wiccan or something, you know? Like, it's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And these are not the people who built Western civilization. It's just regular men and women, you know, who love their kids and husband and wives who work things out enough to stay together, to get over themselves and be selfless and, like, take their vocation seriously and actually raise their children because they're not cowards. You know what I mean? Like, actually, like, oh, I sent Johnny a bike. I sent him $50. It's like, you know, go find a pogo stick and turn it upside down and jump on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how dare you? You know, like, that's what's drifting out of our society, I fear. And instead we're arguing about, like, you didn't use my proper pronoun. It's like, okay, well, check this out. You didn't use my proper pronoun. How do you feel about that? Well, I identify as Zer. Okay. Well, I identify as a white, patriarchal, alpha male, and I don't particularly care about the white part because that's just, you know, my heritage. I don't really care. I could be any race or you know, ethnicity, but the main thing is I'm Christian, and I believe in the West. And so it doesn't matter. I could be Indian, I could be black, I could be Asian. But there will be a group of people that agree with me and that get it. You know what I mean? Like, when I buy food from the Japanese guy, like, I don't look at him and go, oh, you know.
He's trying to poison me.
Yeah, that crazy Asian, you know. It's like, no, he's a cool guy. And he bows every time I buy food from him. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm always very polite to him. And I'm like, thank you so much, you know. Like, I don't care that he's different than me, you know. Like, it's just, but we can't even get past that anymore. That is...
No, you just spent like 30 seconds redefending your position.
And that's the point.
And that we spend so much time going, I don't have any problem with gay people. I love, I have a friend that's gay.
You do the hokey pokey.
Like, famous people are doing that. Famous people are doing that every podcast. Hey, I don't got no problems with gay people, you know.
Yeah, maybe the hokey pokey was really a sinister leftist conspiracy. No, but I'm so sick of it. I've had it. I don't care.
I'm to the point where, like, when I get into something like that, I just go like, really, bro? You know what happens to me? This happened to me with two lesbian women. I pull up to a liquor store to get a pack of smokes and like a couple chuladas. You know what I'm saying?
Chulada. You have to say it the right way. It's
chuladas.
Chulada. I don't know.
A chelada.
Well, but you are certifiably Mexican.
No, whatever, dude.
You can make that.
Oh, I'm not Canadian, eh? Real booty.
Hey, no.
Look, he just got triggered right here. But anyways,
don't make fun of my people.
I see these lesbians. They have a football hat on, no, it's like Pittsburgh Pirates, like one of those flat billed baseball hats, right? And it's like a short, pudgy Mexican lesbian girl.
That's so sad.
And I go. I pull up to the liquor store, right? I'm having a good evening. I go, hey, bro, give me a pack of Marlboro Lights and a six pack of. She said, faux show or something. She didn't even. I said, hey, bro, like that.
Oh, and it triggered her?
No. That's what she wanted. I gave her what she wanted without even me, because she looked so dressed like a man.
Yeah.
That I said, nah, I said, thanks, bro. You know, that's what I said.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is that I refuse to call somebody who has a vagina bro. And even if they cut out their vagina and they put
I did it. What I'm saying is I did it by mistake.
It doesn't matter. It's their biology is set. And I don't, this whole business of you get to force me to accept your psychotic vision of reality. Like if you want to do that, I think you're crazy, but you have a right to do what you want to do. But don't try to tell me what to do.
So then,
don't tell me that I have to teach my daughter that it's okay for you to cut off your dick. Like, no. I think it's not okay. I think it's crazy. I think it's dangerous. And I think you need to learn to like yourself as you were made. Like, you are what you are. And instead of being...
You don't even have to explain yourself. It's down to the point where, like, if I find out any of these parents are chopping their children's dicks off in this neighborhood, we're going to war. I don't have a reason.
No, but we're already there.
I don't have to have a reason.
That's the thing. It's like if you were in San Francisco, you don't think they're doing that.
Johnny
put on a dress when he was four, so now we're giving him hormone therapies and he's growing boobs. Like, yeah, I think it's child abuse. I think it's
absolutely insane, child abuse. Dude. Unless they have to be like 21 and over. This 18 nonsense, that's if you want to buy a pack of cigarettes. Everything else, you got to be 21 and up if you want to start chopping block.
Right, but see how it all started, though. It's, you know, putting condoms on cucumbers and... Oh, let us teach the children, you know? And before you know it, they're teaching children.
And they think that we're
all
like...
all sorts of crazy shit.
Here's what's weird is they think we're... like, they think we're so much different than them. I could become a pagan tomorrow and just start, you know...
Well, yeah, I've always said that.
I could just find... I could invent new things that are interesting and fun.
I can... I've always sensed in that...
It's a choice that we make, and it's fucking crazy that... That shit's not any fun. It's not any cool. It's disgusting. It's terrible. It's evil. And you're going to be convinced of it. You're gonna convince me that I believe that you're convinced of it. End of discussion. These people are nuts, man. And you know what? And we're believing a lot of the hype. Like, oh, they're putting that on the news to freak us out. None of those people are doing that shit. Most people I know that are like lesbians or gays or trans. Like, I don't know any transgender. I see a couple cross dressers walking the streets, and maybe a couple of people like a guy, the crazy guy that had breast implants because he's mentally ill. Those people aren't in our society the way they say they are.
Well, right. Well, I mean, they're not as... In other words, they get way more attention than the percentage of them.
It's a distraction.
Because there's a lot of other people who are suffering who don't get any attention.
It's a distraction.
Like, for example, legal immigrants who wait in the waiting list and have to go through, like, all these hoops and have to wait 10 years.
They're like the number one Trump supporters.
Well, and see, if Trump was really smart, he would immediately... He'd be like... This is what we're going to do.
Oh, let them all
in
legally?
We're
going to
fast track all the legal immigrants. We're going to let them all in. I love them.
If they defend the border. If they decide to defend the border.
No,
dude,
see, that,
I would be
no,
in
that's,
on that
the,
shit.
See, that's like a South Park episode right there. Like,
but you have to live in Tucson and defend the border and become a marksman with an AR-15 from Israel. Yes, I said it, Israel.
Dude, if that was in a cartoon, that would be gold.
Well, this is the outline of the cartoon because, like, people's imaginations. Podcasts are better. Podcast is the future because I don't need to do shit, but just record it. And so people are, I love it, dude.
Yeah, it's much.
We just had a cartoon.
Well, it is. That's true. It's you know, spoken word is epic. There's no doubt about it. But no, I mean, if he were to do that, if he were to say, you know, I love all these people. They did it right. You know, and give them. Like, dude, that would be the ultimate trigger ever because they would all vote for him. They would get their citizenship and they would vote for him. And then the Democrats would be like, Trump's letting all these illegal
immigrants in. No, then it would flip. Trump's letting in. No, then it would flip. Funny. Trump's letting in. A couple of them might be terrorists. Yeah. One of them was a member of ISIS.
Trump's letting legal immigrants in just because he wants them to vote for him. Dude, oh, it would be so good.
Dude, it's genius.
Oh, man. That's almost something that someone needs to tell Rush Limbaugh just so he... Yeah, let me think about that.
Now, I can clearly see what he's trying to do here. He's trying to undermine that I care about people, and he cares about them more than I do. Your Obama impersonation's hilarious.
Oh, Obama. I don't know. Some people do Obama really well.
Yours was great,
He just does the, well, you know, I don't know. We're going to have a beer summit? I mean, honestly, I didn't listen to him that much because he triggered me so much. He just, because he's so obnoxious. He's so... he knows what he's doing, but he acts so civil and so polite, and he's, oh yeah, you know, it, like, but he's so nasty. He's so divisive. The things he says are so deliberately offensive. Like, I always, you know, he's the first Trump. He's the first reality TV show president, dancing with, you know, Ellen. You know what I mean? He's the one who started that stuff.
Yeah, him and Michelle, they were like, it was like, I don't even know about Michelle.
Dude, they would Obama just, you know. Or that whole Michael Obama conspiracy.
I don't know. There's conspiracies for days, man. And like every, I'll tell you one thing. Here's one universal truth about dude. All conspiracies. Oh, man, they so all are convincingly convinced. You can be convinced for a split second.
Oh, yeah.
They are all convincing.
Dude, I just saw this one video where it showed her dancing, and it's like had an arrow pointing to her crotch. And it was like, look at how something in there is bouncing up and down and hitting the fabric. And then and it was some guy talking about it, and I just remember bursting out laughing because it was so funny. Just that even someone had taken the time to do that, you know. But it's like,
people are sick, yeah, you know. Even if I was convinced of it, I would never be like that guy. I have to prove to the world by zooming in on this possible penis. It, you know. And so, even if they are what people say they are, we shouldn't expose them to that.
Well, right. All the clickbait stuff, you know, it's a symptom of the stupidity of our culture. It's how, you know, it's like bite-sized stupidity. It's just, you know, it's not very enlightening. You know, there's no way to actually know what's going on because you just, and I've argued with these people at work and some of my friends, and you know, they just regurgitate the same things that I can hear on YouTube, and I'm like, that's as far as your opinion goes. And then they'd go, whatever. They don't even really care past that, you know what I mean? They're like, I just think this because it makes me feel better about my own situation, you know. And it's like, oh, okay, you know. And then here I am, it's like, I, you know, I have a family, I'm trying to take care of everybody, I'm doing it old school style. You know, and then they're telling me that I'm the oppressive one. It's just like, you know what? Eat crow. Like, literally, just, like, if that's how it's going to be, then okay, you know?
You know, it's
then
weird.
Draw the line in the sand, because that's
and you know, here's another thing that's
that
weird.
That is ridiculous. Like, I do everything for my family, and, like, you mean to tell me that, you know, because I'm not going to tell my daughter that I'd be proud of her if she became a lesbian, that, like, I'm a horrible person? Like, what? Because you think my religion is stupid, and I think you're... Well, what about me thinking that you're stupid? What if I think that your philosophy is a failure?
Good for you. Go for it. Do it.
Well, what if I think that what I believe is the source of all the things you're benefiting from, and you're the one who's in the wrong?
You know what our problem is?
They don't even think about
it. No, here's our problem. They'll go like, oh, you're just a complete moron. That's what our problem is. We need to get there first. We need to shoot first. What's wrong with you? You're an idiot. And that's not bullying. Bullying is when you go up and keep pushing someone. You're a jerk. You're a loser. You're a loser. That's bullying someone. But if someone's an idiot, sometimes right. You just got to turn and go, you're a freaking idiot, bro.
Well, that one kid I was
talking about. And they need to hear that.
Mr. Millennial, he's, I'm going to permanently enshrine him in my politically incorrect cartoon someday, hope God willing. You know, but he, you know, I could tell he came up with this joke and he thought it was really funny. And he, you know, because every day we were listening to the classic rock station, and it was like, you know, Pink Floyd, The Wall, and right with that part where he goes, "Hey teacher, leave those kids alone." He like gets in my face and he goes, "Hey priest, leave those kids alone."
That's great though. See, that's he's got a good sense of humor.
No, and I laughed. I did. I laughed, and I was like, "Dude, I was like, you're so ridiculous." I was like,
that's Captain Clever.
So he goes, yeah, but then he goes, my mom really likes the priest at her parish, and he's gay, and he's never molested any kids.
He's just making that up.
Well, no, and I'm like, and he's like, yeah, and the whole congregation is pro-abortion. And I'm like, they're Catholic? And he's like,
he's
yeah, my
making
mom's
that
Catholic.
Shit up. He's trying to trigger you.
No, he's like, I'm not Catholic. He's like, I think it's all bullcrap, but she found a parish that, like, is more liberal, and, like, they're, like, sensible, and blah, 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 and all this different stuff, but I think it's crap. And I'm just like, so your mom's like, you know, full-blown pro-abortion and all these different things. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know. And, I mean, it just blew my mind because, I said, maybe you don't know this, but, like, you know, almost 90% of the sexual abuse victims involved with any members of, like, the church were all, it's all homosexual stuff. Like, it's not a guy...
With a small girl.
Yeah, with a small girl.
The only time it's reversed is when it's the public school teacher female banging the young boy.
Well, but there are instances in the church where there were a few guys who were just creepy, and they were like a 14-year-old girl, you know. And in some cases, you know, a more just kind of sad, pathetic, but not necessarily like devious, like a 17 or 18-year-old girl throws herself on some young priest, and then he ends up having sex with her, and you know what I mean? Those kind of things all count in that survey. But the point is that the majority of abuse was older homosexual guys molesting or sexualizing.
The same thing that happened to them.
It's
a ritual they
and
have.
And that's what Milo...
And Alex Jones is exposing it, and that's why he's getting banned.
And remember when Milo, you know, ended his career, so to speak, or so they to say, because he said it's very common in homosexual culture for an older
guy... It's the rearing. They call it child rearing.
Yeah, for an older guy to be like, oh, you're 15, you're 13... I can tell that you're gay. Let me show you how, you know, how to give a blowjob. It's like, if I did that to a girl, if I was like a man in my 30s and I was like, oh, you're a 14-year-old girl, you're heterosexual, let me show you how it's done. Like, if somebody tried to do that to one of my daughters, like, it would be very difficult for me to not kill them. Literally. So,
we're living crazy times,
man. Why is it okay for boys but not okay for girls? It's a really weird, like, double standard. Like, I always thought, like, sexuality should be off limits for kids. You know, they should have their childhood. You know, and I don't get that. You know, but that's the thing that they're in the media is doing everything they can to cover it up. They go, oh, the sex crisis in the church, the pedophile scandals. It's like, no, 3% of the predators were pedophiles. But, like, over 80-something percent of them were specifically of one proclivity, and you're not talking about them. So you're actually making the church look even worse because you're saying it's all pedophiles. Like, most people are disgusted by pedophiles, but, like, I would say probably half of all Catholics who are more liberal, if they knew that such and such priest is gay and he, you know, had sex with another gay guy, I think a lot of them wouldn't think it was as big of a deal. You know what I mean? But the whole world, because of the media and the way people in the certain people in the hierarchy spun it, got the impression that the church has this weird problem with, like, creepy priests that, like, can't keep their hands off of little kids. So all these priests who have never done anything to any kid and who are, like, totally trustworthy good dudes, that all those relationships are off to them now, right? Because, like, no one trusts them anymore, and they don't even want to be put in the position where someone could accuse them of something. Someone, they make someone mad, and the person goes, you did this, and you're like, I never did that, what are you talking about? So it's like it's destroyed the bond between priests and families, you know? And it's simultaneously protecting, you got these guys like Cardinal McCarrick, he spent millions of dollars of money from the laity, and he's living it like a posh lifestyle, and he's probably still got, like, you know, lovers and stuff, and then he's got his Roman collar on. It is diabolical, it's disgusting, and it's so wrong. And when I look at all the problems in my life, it's all, I can trace it back to me embracing modernism and me embracing liberalism and me rejecting traditional Catholicism, because I never really even completely knew what it was. It was kind of told about it as an afterthought, you know, but this is how we do it now.
Well, you know? You have to, like, when you become an age of reason, you have to question it and you have to discover it for yourself. And then that's how we instinctively discover if it really has meaning to it. But I'm worried that the only way to save the church, the priesthood, is that all priests, it flips. All mandatory, you have to be mandatory married with a family and kids to be a priest.
No, but we've already tried that.
Why? How'd that fail?
Because the Byzantine Church, the Eastern Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, they're still considered, they can still make a valid Eucharist. They can make a, you know, valid,
okay.
So Rome still recognizes the sacramental validity of what they do, even though they're still separated brethren. You know, like John Paul famously said, you know, that they're like the second lung of the church, you know, and the person needs two lungs to breathe, kind of thing. But they don't have full celibacy. I think certain people, like higher ranking dudes, are celibate, But, like, they have a lot of married priests. And guess what?
What?
They still debate and argue over whether or not it's okay to use birth control.
Well, but okay, but still.
But see, but that's what I'm saying. Because they didn't have Peter to say, no, you know, birth control is wrong. That's it. There's a whole bunch of people in that church that use birth control. And as a result, you know, in part, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. But that's one reason that the church is not expanded. And that's why there's so many Catholics. And there's not as many, you know, Eastern Orthodox. I mean, that's, and they would say, well, it was communism. And it's like, well, yeah, that too. But that goes hand in hand with, you know, birth control. So, I mean, you know, it's an interesting, you know, difference. But I don't think, I think celibacy is a good thing. I think Jesus was celibate. John the Baptist was celibate. The thing is we just have to hold our priests accountable. Like, you need a holy guy.
Right,
you know?
But if we held our priests accountable, there wouldn't be enough priests to fill all the churches.
But that's what you would think. They used to say, you know, if we would just change the Mass and we would get rid of the Latin and all the weird stuff and make it more inclusive and have some guys sit up there and play, like, Beatles versions of church songs, then we would get more people. And we said, okay.
That's a good point.
And we did it, and guess what we got? A whole bunch of, like, you know, Freemasons and Modernists and Marxists and homosexuals who were like, we're going to change this church from the inside out, and we're going to cover for each other, and, you know, and if you're on our side, then we'll do anything to protect you unless we absolutely have to throw you under the bus. And that's how you get all these cover-ups and all this crap, because it didn't used to work that way. Like, in the old days, like, in a medieval village, do you think, you know, what do you think would happen to a priest who was caught molesting someone's little kid? What do you think the villagers would do to that priest? You know what I mean? Like...
Well, what I'm saying is if a married man with a wife that's very close to him and, you know, a couple kids trying to do the right thing, you know, becomes a priest, there's no mystery behind that. There's no, well, we don't know if he's gay or not. We just have to give your faith to Jesus. That's like, we don't have to, it's yeah, completely see, wiped problem, clean off the slate.
But the problem is that he has to devote his life to his wife and the church. So he has to serve two masters because I can tell you as having, and I don't even have 5 kids or 10 kids at this point. I mean, I hope I do one day, but even now with the amount that I have, it's a full-time gig. And like my wife needs.
Yeah, but you still go to a full-time job every day.
Well, right. But that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying too, is that, and that's the other thing is you got to think about the liability. If you got a cat, and that's something that this happened in the Greek Orthodox Church. If you're married and your wife decides that I hate this church, I'm leaving, and then they sue the church and they go, well, I'm 50-50 owner of everything my husband is entitled to, and he's the pastor of this church, so I want this and this and this and this. You see what I'm saying?
Well, there would have to be some kind of a Catholic rule there.
Well, no, but the point is that Jesus knew what he was doing and he set it up correctly, and the top guys have always been celibate and.
Okay.
And it's confusing. I don't know why God wants celibacy, but he wants it. And the holiest people, they embraced it, and Jesus embraced it. And so, the sex scandal is a homosexual predation scandal, and it's the problem is priests not doing what they're supposed to do. It's like, it's hard enough for me as a married guy to do what I'm supposed to do. What really is helpful is having a holy, chaste priest, you know, tell me, hey, listen, you know, I've been chaste all week. I don't do anything. You know, I offer that up as a sacrifice to God. And you're telling me that, you know, that you can't, you know, do this and this and this and be like an upstanding husband to your wife and hold yourself to a Christian standard. You know, it challenges you and it makes you improve. But if you've got a guy who's like, you know, and I've had this, I had a priest in Austin, Texas, and he goes, I said, yeah, I've really been struggling with, you know, this particular sin and it's difficult. And, you know, I know it's wrong and I would like to stop doing it, but then I'm overwhelmed with temptation sometimes. And he just goes, oh, you should just like rest on God's mercy. And I'm like,
what the hell does that even mean?
Well, no. And then of course, you know, I have some Protestant friends and they end up, one of them works at a, you know, salon or whatever. And they end up seeing this priest goes to the salon and he gets like highlights in his hair and he has this gay guy do his hair, and it's like, who the hell is this guy? Like, what? Like, what does he think he's doing? It's like,
it's Club Jesus.
Well, the point is that if you know what the doctrine says, you don't get to introduce new secular, modern, or ancient lifestyles and then try to insert them into the priesthood. Like, just like I can't insert, it would be like if I tried to insert polygamy into marriage and be like, King David had multiple wives and I want to have 2 Catholic wives. You know, I want to have 20 kids. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's all excess and it's all to gratify yourself. And that's how you know it's orthodoxy and it's true Christianity, is you have to deny yourself. And it kind of stings a little bit. It's like if I follow all the rules with my wife, it's not easy. It's really tough. But the good times are really good. But then there's times where I have to, like, literally deny myself if I want to be a holy Catholic man. But everyone else in my culture is like, oh, whatever. And they crack jokes about it. And they, like, I couldn't go without my phone for more than 4 hours. Like, my coworkers have made jokes about,
yeah, I know,
looking at porn, like, 4 times a day, 5 times a day, and, you know, constantly playing with themselves. And I'm just like, it's sad that you think that's funny, and it's sad that, like, it's probably true on some days, like maybe Saturdays, you know. You're like, it's just,
well, that's kind of my thing going back to, like, the priest thing
their whole life.
It's like I'm not gonna say it's impossible, but there's can't be that many strong people above it to the point where they can control it. Like, they, well, like,
you would think so, but it's kind of like the Latin Mass. When people go to Latin Mass, they get more into their faith because it's so serious. It's so,
you know, I get that.
It sucks you back in, and that's the secret of Christianity, I think, is that when you give into it and you submit to it, you find that you're doing the right thing for everybody around you, and then all of a sudden, you know, and not necessarily, but in many cases, you're showered with all these wonderful things, you know, that other people don't have. Like you or me, for example, you know, just the relationships we have with special women, you know. There are millionaires and billionaires who will never have a relationship as good as we do.
That's right.
Either of us. So who's really the millionaire? You know, are they the millionaire with all their money in their bank, but they're like, they fake it with everyone and they can never, you know, really connect with anyone, and they're just always feeling alone, and then one day they die, you know, they get near death, and then they know they're gonna die, and they're like, what's the point, you know? So it's an interesting thing, like how everything's unfolding in our modern society, but it's so chaotic. I just feel like it's only a matter of time before things get despotic and they start going downward, because people are just getting tribal and they're getting crazy and they're not thinking logically. They're not valuing, like, treating other people with respect and going, hey, I disagree with you, but, like, explain yourself. It's just like, no, you're a piece of crap, you know, because you disagree with me. So therefore, I'm right and you're wrong, and whoever wins is going to win. And that's basically war, you know? It's like, that's why we always fall back into war. It'd be really nice if we could stop, but...
Smoke break.
Yeah, that was...